Oh, yeah. Hey, everybody. Welcome. This is the Bellied Up Podcast, man. I mean, this is where we come and we chit chat. Why don't you start it?
You're good. What?
Oh, I thought you were looking at me. I'll do it again.
No.
Hey, folks. Welcome to a brand spanking new episode of the Bellied Up Podcast. I'm one half of your host. My name's Charlie Behrens.
And I am Miles the Betcha Guy. And where are we bellied up at, Charlie?
Oh, we're bellied up over here.
Tens.
Yeah, in Minneapolis, which is a great city.
What town are we actually in? Well, we're in St. Paul.
Well, I knew that.
One of the twins.
I mean, it was a twin. So sometimes you see one of the twins and you're like, that's Carrie. But no, it's not Carrie. It's Terry. So
we're in St. Paul over at Ted's Bar. And this is what we're looking for in a bar, Charlie. It is one big rectangle. Mm-hmm. There's one bar, a few tables, pool table. That's all you need, don't you, Charlie?
There's a confessional over there.
No, it's actually the timeout booth. I've never seen that in a bar.
That's like, remember in Hook? Take him to the boo box. No, not the boo box.
Yeah.
No.
So you awesome. Better behave on this podcast, Charlie. You're going to end up in the timeout booth.
Oh, it's beautifully dressed up. The solid woodwork on it. I mean, it looks nice enough to be a confessional, but just the right shape to also be a urinal or a porta pot. Here's my favorite part. The bar is that it is there's a decoration up in this bar for every holiday. Just always up. I'm looking at a
cobweb here,
and then
the
underneath March. And then underneath are Christmas lights. And I bet if we keep going, we're going to find an Easter egg somewhere in here. Quite literally. Oh, there's a pumpkin over there. You see it? That white pumpkin. So we got that going. There's some nice Winston, an advertisement for Winston filters.
Yeah.
Anyways. Oh, and then a bowling machine right behind us. I mean,
a Beatles pinball machine.
Now that's a spendy item right there.
I bet that's a lot of money. Pinball machines they're starting to get up there in price.
Oh, people are loving them. Kind of like records, you know, the vinyls. They're coming back hot.
Guys, if you get a chance, you got to swing on by Ted's Bar here in St. Paul. It's a great little spot. Folks are friendly. Vibes are good. Speaking of vibes, Charlie, though,
yeah,
we got to talk about something. Maybe not so good vibes. We'll see.
Well, I had an interesting morning, folks.
Yeah, Charlie had a little bit of what we would call an incident this morning.
So
walk us through it, Charlie, what you can remember.
I was walking. Through the beautiful streets of Minneapolis. We were downtown in the Mill District, I think it's called. I don't know. And I was looking around at this beautiful Mill Museum. I was like, man, I want to go to the Mill Museum. I mean, because they have this mill and it's completely restructured and you can walk around. It's a nice, beautiful walk. Anyways, I had my coffee. I was just being very present and enjoying every moment of life. And I see, oh my gosh, there's the parking garage. I look at my time. Oh my gosh, I got to go to my car. And I see, a car come out of the parking garage. And I was like, I'll just walk right down.
You'd be like, oh. Car, I'm going to sneak right past you into this parking garage.
I didn't even have to sneak right past the car, but I do like it. I do like it. Had the car even been there, the car was gone. The car said, oh, can I sneak right past you? And I says, of course. No double toot. Didn't take it as offense. Anyway, I start walking down the parking garage ramp. And as I'm walking down, I boom, right in the head, dude. The garage door
tried to guillotine you.
Damn near did, you know, and it hit me right on the old thinker, right on the top of the dome, right on in the moneymaker. And then I as I was walking down, I was like, what the hell happened? It took me a while. Then I saw the garage door go back up. And first of all, I was happy I didn't die. But I did see some Starry Night type stuff on my walk down into the parking garage. You know, just little bursts of something.
Now, I want you to know that if you had died in this guillotine garage door accident, Charlie,
you would have laughed.
No, the podcast would have went on.
Oh,
it would have been the Charlie Memorial podcast.
Yeah, you know, honestly, it would have had its biggest
rain
numbers
or shine.
Ever.
I'm showing up to the bar and getting the work done. So I just want you to know that.
Hey. I appreciate
it. Even if you die on your way here, I'm still doing the podcast so we can make sure that the listeners know that we're here to ride or die with them, even though you have died.
If you die, I'm going to be honest with you, I'm taking a month off. I got to mourn and sleep. But anyways.
No, well, all I'm going to do is this is for all of your employees. You die, I got to get on this podcast so I can sling the RIP Charlie shirts.
Yeah.
To make sure that all your affairs are in.
Got to keep you. Is that what you would do, is make RIP Charlie? How much would you profit off my death?
I wouldn't profit anything. I would donate that to your company so then they can have the money, or your family or whatever.
You'd take a taste.
I mean, I would take a cut.
You'd dip your beak into that thing. Yeah, you'd take a cut.
Yeah. It was a small sliver of a cut.
Yeah, you know? Sure. I mean, small is a relative thing.
But anyway.
I didn't die. So now here's my question is, A, what do I do in this situation? You know,
and are you concussed?
I don't know. How do I know if I'm concussed?
Well, let's see how the pupils are doing. I've seen a lot of college football.
Are you Googling it?
No, I'm pulling out my flashlight here. So
what is that going to do?
We're going to see if your pupils are dilated.
Dude, I'm not drunk. What are you doing?
So look straight ahead. Oh, they're moving around. You're good. You ain't dilated, Charlie.
Okay, I trust that. I trust you and your little flashlight in a bar to tell me if I'm concussed or not.
No, I've seen that. You know, the concussion protocol in the NFL, they get in the blue tent, they start flashing them in the eyes.
Yeah, I've seen that too, but I don't know what they're looking for on the other end. You know, though. Have you watched a YouTube video on it? How do you know? Common knowledge? Am I just out of the loop?
Yeah, you're out of the loop.
Okay.
So you're not concussed.
No lawsuit, folks.
We'll see, though. You know, if you start getting a little nauseous, let us know.
Is it nausea that you have to worry about?
Yep.
Anything else?
Confusion, dizziness, memory loss.
I'm confused
loss.
A lot. I got to tell you.
We're going to take that one out.
I took 2 melatonin last night. Oh, my gosh.
That'd be funny if, like, you went on WebMD for concussions and they started naming off all the symptoms, and you're like, I just must be concussed at all times. Confusion and dizziness.
Yeah. It's literally, dizziness. Huh. I don't know, because now I'm starting to think about my head, and I'm like, oh, is that, because, you know, if you think about something a lot, you can make yourself sick sometimes if you just think about it. What you think about, you bring about. Stress stays in your body. That's why you gotta work it out. You guys seen that video? Because it's not a video. I just thought about it. Anyways, should we...
So this is a Jordan flu game performance here.
Jordan flu game,
baby.
You are
concussed. And you're here at the bar.
I'm here at the bar, ripping through episodes of the Bellied Up, taking callers, taking names.
Did you fall over when I hit you?
I don't think so.
Okay. Because then that would have been, I mean, that's where I think the real brain injuries happen, Charlie, is the initial hit, it's when you hit the ground.
Right. The nice thing is, I will say, I'm a taller drink of water. I mean, I don't mean to brag, but I'm 6'1".
Me too.
Really probably closer to 6 foot, but who's taller? Back to back. Damn. He was on his tippy toes, dude. I felt it. I felt the tippy toes go up. Bastard.
So the bigger they are, the harder they fall, though, I think.
But also the taller they are, the shorter the distance for the garage door to pow them, you know?
Like, yeah, I didn't get as much momentum, right? If you'd been real short, it would have had a lot more velocity.
If I were a short king, man, I might not be standing here right now. Shout out to all the short kings out there. We see you.
But you're an athlete, so you stayed upright. So that's probably good. You didn't get a double whammy brain injury, so.
Dude, speaking of which, did you see Cam Newton get... Did you see the video of Cam Newton?
No.
Dude, that dude got jumped by like 4 guys and he like took them all.
Really?
And he kept his hat on. Yeah. It was like a big internet thing not too long ago, but it was gnarly, man. Nice. It's like, do not go after Cam Newton. Guy will mess you up and keep his witch hat on.
Well, Charlie, should we keep her moving, as you would say?
Let's do it, Miles. Let's keep her moving. Let's take some callers. Welcome to the Bellied Up Podcast. Who is calling in today?
This is Gwen.
Gwen, how are you doing?
I'm well. How are you guys doing?
Doing good. We're bellied up to the bar. Why don't you belly up to the bar with us? Tell us what's on your mind.
Okay, so do you guys remember the traumatic backstory single mom that called in a while ago?
We get that a lot.
Yeah, be a little more specific on this. What were we talking about?
The single mom of three that had the ex-husband that tried to kill her multiple times and was going through the divorce and everything.
Yes. This was probably about a year ago.
Was that Schuller's Tavern?
Sure. Yeah. Yeah, are you here?
That's me. Yeah, that's me.
Okay. Give us the update She's on back. That. Yeah, give us the update on that.
And give some more backstory for the listeners who haven't heard the call.
Oh, goodness. Okay, so I was a single mom of three. I had just started my divorce process. My ex-husband had tried to kill me multiple times, ran at me with a Jeep, and got away with almost everything. And then I kept giving up charges. I was scared. And then finally, something broke the camel's back, and I called the cops and had him removed. So I do have an interesting question, though, because that is moving on. But I am with somebody who is a farming bull rider, and I don't know how the heck you guys are supposed to keep those guys happy, because he doesn't want to bull ride anymore, but he wants to bull ride because he doesn't want to hurt himself, but he wants to do it. So I don't know how you're supposed to keep them like energized and excited when they like the rush of flying all over the fucking place.
Yeah.
Wow.
I don't know anything. I'm not a rodeo guy. I think I've said multiple times that the people who are riding bulls are crazy in a good way. And I respect the hell out of what they do, because I would never. I'm too soft, basically.
Yeah.
So that being said, I mean, these guys, from what I understand, it's kind of a they know that it's bad for their body to ride bulls, but they love it so much and love the adrenaline so much that they're okay with potentially wrecking their body because the high is so high. Is that correct? Is that what you're saying?
I think so, but I think he hasn't done bull riding for a long while, I believe. And now, of course, you know, I was single mom of three, and we've been together for 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, somewhere in their months. And he's met the kids. The kids love him. He loves the kids. So he doesn't want to go get hurt, and then he can't play with the kids, which also means then he pitters around the house and needs more excitement. I don't know what to excite him. How are you supposed to excite someone that wants to be thrown? I'm not very strong.
Okay.
Have you heard of furries?
Oh, God. Please, no.
All I'm saying.
Yeah, have you ever heard that Rihanna song about chains and whips exciting?
Oh.
All right,
you're trying to tell me that I need to start exploring some things here.
Well, we don't need to take it down that road, because let's be frank.
Yeah, that still's on the table.
It's still on the table, but it's going to take a lot more than that. This guy likes a caged animal.
If we get to the root of it, Charlie, maybe he just likes the pain of getting thrown around.
That is true. I feel like we got to know what he likes the most about it. Does he like the pain? In which case, you know, whips and chains can help with that.
Or is he an adrenaline junkie? What would you say if you had to guess?
Oh, God. I think he might be a little bit of both, guys. Like, I think he might be a little bit of both.
Okay.
When he's digging around the junk drawer and he gets stuck in the thumb by a tack, does he kind of like say, or does he say,
I don't know about that. I do know he told me today that he was playing chicken with a semi trying to pass a tractor and got on the other side of the road within three little zip lines. Yep. So, I mean, the adrenaline's there for sure.
That's what we're dealing with. We're dealing with an adrenaline junkie here, and this is going to be... Get him into skydiving.
Yeah, it's actually skydiving's pretty safe. It's a safe adrenaline thing.
I think I'm supposed to do that with him. That doesn't sound like a great thing to do with him.
I mean, what if you do it and you get hooked on it? You know, and then you got, let's just hope nothing goes wrong for your kid's sake. But you know what? Maybe just he does it for a while.
Yeah. Double whammy would be
okay. Counter suit. countersuit. What if I just took all my trauma and all the times, you know, I went through everything and just beat the shit out of him during, you know, fun time?
Oh, you guys could marry your traumas. So what she say? So
did
you would
say beat the shit out of him?
Yeah, yeah. I mean, I think this is a terrible idea, but I'll walk down the road with you on it. And in the right context,
right? Get a little nice, like leather, because cows are kind of, or bulls are kind of leathery. Get a nice little leather, maybe tie him up a little bit, and then just beat the shit out of him and give him time of his life, and that'll do, right?
It, honestly, I think it might. You don't want to make sure he signs a form though before you start beating the shit out of him. You know, make sure
a consensual.
Yes, we consent is huge in this scenario, right, Charlie?
Yeah. Why are you saying right, Charlie?
No, I mean, I'm looking for your approval.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah, you want to get some consent on that. And I also think that getting yourself a mechanical bull in the basement and kind of mixing a little, you know, erotic whip play with a bull could be kind of something
and
fun.
And then you also pair it with putting Legos all over the floor. So if he gets thrown off the bull, there's an added pain aspect to it.
Yeah, that's genius, Miles.
I like where this is going. See, I was going more with, like, I could get him a bull ring and maybe throw some sand in his eyes at the end of adult time, but I like where this one's going better.
I like mixing bull riding and adult time, you know?
I mean, it seems like you've thought about this before. I mean, she's rattling off these things pretty quickly, Charlie.
Very specific.
So I need to know, what are the other things that you are been thinking about?
Well, there is the option, because, okay, I did some research here, all right? Because there's like a yearly rodeo, like Super Bowl thing he put on. So I actually paid attention. I watched 7 seconds. I know about someone, Mooney. I think that's his name. Maybe Justin, but don't kill me if that's wrong. But someone, Mooney, super good bull riders. I saw that they have clowns that like hide in these big old buckets, right? Mm-hmm. So hear me out. Put a bull ring on him, right? Be like this little cute little thing tied in a barrel dressed as a sexy clown, throw him on the bed, hog tie him, flip him off the bed, throw sand in his eyes, maybe tie a rope around his utility under satchel, and just kind of drag him a little bit, and that should probably get the adrenaline and the pain, right?
Yeah, I think that'll do the trick right there. I think, you know, you found yourself a lucky fella. I'm gonna tell you that right now. Wow. Now
she really has thought about doing
and
you have to have proposed some of this to him already. Am I correct in saying that?
No. I've kind of, you know, been like, oh, this would be funny. Or, hey, this person said this online, that'd be funny. And he was just kind of like, haha. But, you know, I've been looking a little Amazon every now and then, you know, trying to see if I can get drunk enough to steal a barrel sometime. Although he'd be the one driving me drunk around to steal the barrel. I mean, borrow it from the city. Obviously, I'd return it after these are done. Not a criminal. And I don't know. I think I'd have to find a third party in this to help with the drunk barrel, but might be able to order a couple things and might surprise him a little bit.
So you think?
But he's a cowboy, so I'm sure he'll be drunk ahead of time. So we should be safe on the whole. What are you doing?
This is
a lot to unpack.
First of all, I feel like just a general note to our listeners, guys. If anybody wants to sponsor a barrel, okay. You know, consider that, because this I feel like needs to get done. My other thought on this is, you're putting all this thought into helping him. Is he putting the same kind of thought into helping you with your needs, or is the thought you're putting
in? He's doing great.
What's that?
I said, oh, honey, he's doing great on that. My needs are covered. We're good.
Okay.
We're great.
Okay.
What do you mean by that?
He's got a hog on him, is what she's saying, Charlie.
Well, okay. To be fair, all right, the ex was a little shrimpy, you know, a little shrimp cocktail and all of that. And then you get with a cowboy, you get the horse, I found out. But I also got with an older cowboy. Okay, so he's about 9 years older than me, so he's kind of seen a couple rings himself and kind of knows what he's
This ain't his first rodeo.
It is not. It is not. Although I feel like if I do a little plan here, it might be his first rodeo, and he's either going to come out traumatized or he's going to love me more, and I think I'm willing to take the chance with God. I'm really thinking about it.
How are you going to know if you don't try it?
Exactly. You know, it's either going to last or it's not, but 50-50, he'll still be able to play with the kids. He probably just can't have any more.
Yeah. I don't even think you called in for advice. I think you just called in to just brag about that this is your scenario now, which is also fine.
Yeah, I'm happy you did. Are you going to give him a hockey helmet to wear? Is he going to walk in the door? There's going to be a hockey helmet on the kitchen table. And
then it's go time.
He actually has one hanging in the room. I mean, he has a couple pairs of chaps here. He has some, like, kick the bowl thingies. And he has the hockey helmet and a couple ropes. Oh, he has a couple of ropes.
Oh,
look at that.
Okay.
We're already halfway there, boys.
All right. Listen, we got to really plan this, though, because the way you're saying this is you're already going to be in the barrel kind of a thing. So, going to be in the room. So you got to lead him up to the room. So start with a hockey helmet on the kitchen table, take the ropes, and then have the ropes in, not like rose petals guiding him where to go. Have the ropes and everything. And then the last thing you have there be, you know, kind of his chaps.
I like that. They're fancy.
Yeah.
The other idea, though, rent a bull ring for a day, get the angriest bull I can find, and tell him if he can find the hole without us dying from the bull, then he's really won something.
If he can find the hole without dying from the bull, then he's really won something.
Is that what I think it
means? Like, you know, like we're both in the bull ring. And, you know, he's trying to, you see what I'm saying here?
Isn't that like illegal in like a lot of states? Just fornicating in front of animals?
My hole, sir. Find my hole, not the bull's hole. Like, no, the bull is chasing us. He has to find my hole.
No, I understand that. Is it legal to just be fornicating in front of animals?
People do it in front of their dogs all the time.
I guess I didn't think about that.
Yeah. Well, this is really
like experience, Charlie.
Wow.
Our dogs stay in a kennel in the other room. All right.
Wow.
So is this?
Don't you judge me after you've said this whole thing.
Hey, this is a no kink shaming podcast. Yeah. Right? Clearly, we've been open minded with you. You can be open minded with Charlie.
And also, I'm not even saying anything about what I'm doing. But I'm just saying, I know that anyway.
So is this your thing? Like, you like being the, what is it, a dominatrix, Charlie?
I think that. Do you call yourself
your
a dominatrix?
No, it's kind of horrifying to think of it. But man, he just hit her. Like, he satisfies me. And that's super fun and everything. And like, there's some things that are amazing to him that I do. But like, I don't know. He's so bored. Like, he is going through school. He's almost done with schooling. And he works at an elevator, like a granary elevator. He's manager there, and then he works part time at a hotel as maintenance man. But like, anytime he's home, if he's not throwing the kids around, because the kids, I swear, are gonna become little friggin' bull riders, especially my youngest, because they do like just being thrown into a couch or whatever. Like, they're all for all of it and do it to each other. So then he'll play with them, but then like, between him and I, like, I was like, oh, we should wrestle. You can throw me around, but he wants to be all gentle and all sweet. So I figure if maybe I throw him with a little bit of help, I'm kind of weak, a couple of ropes or whatever, it might be a little more interesting, you know?
Okay. I like it. I like it. Let's try it out. Let's try it out.
Yeah. Well, you know what? Miles and I, we'll throw in a whip on this. Jared, can we look up a nice whip to send over? We'll get you a care package.
It's going to need to be like a Wyoming bull whip.
Wyoming bull whip?
Like, it has to be genuine. I feel like that's probably the most genuine, right?
Yeah.
That's genuine. Yeah. Sure. Yeah, we'll get that going. You want chains too or just a whip?
Ooh, chains might be fun. Hanging from the ceiling like a little hog or something. Yeah, no, he's not down like that. Okay, maybe not that.
Well, look, you got to remember, it's not just about what the bull rider wants. It's about what the bull wants. And I think you are the bull in this analogy.
I am horrified to be this bull. I am horrified. All right, I am not dominatrix. Like, I'm like, oh, yeah, you do whatever to me. So it's going to be a horrifying experience all around. I just want to know if it'll get his heart rate going.
You know what? You keep saying you don't want this. I think you want this. You've put in a lot of people who don't want this are not calling in to a podcast telling
this is usually,
all the details.
If they don't want it, here's how it usually goes. Huh, well, I could tie him up and whatever, but nah, I don't want to do that.
Yeah.
And then it ends right there. This seems to have gone about 15 to 20 steps further than that. So I think that just accept your fate.
Yeah, you enjoy it, and that's fine. You know, that's great. Embrace that. And we're going to send you a complimentary whip and chain, and if you're lucky, maybe we'll get you that barrel, too, that you can hide in. But the sexy clown costume, that's going to have to be on you. Unless Miles wants to put that in his credit card.
I might have one in storage, so I'll I'll see.
Been a couple rodeos yourself, huh? I heard that Anne's pregnant. That does make sense.
No, I'm about what they would call vanilla, so you don't got to worry about that with me, Charlie.
Well, I'm not doing any of that with you, Miles.
I know, but just in case you're wondering.
Yet, I mean, we'll see what happens.
Congratulations.
Oh, thank you very much. Yeah.
Congratulations to you too. I think bottom line, we're happy you got out of this.
You seem to be in a much better spot.
Screw that other guy, that tiny dong fella. And now you got yourself a big old horse, who's ready to buck the bull, and you're ready to just be that rodeo clown. What's that?
How do I bring this up to him? Like, can you guys kind of role play the conversation I'm supposed to have with him about like what's going to happen?
Well, before we role play, first option, you just slide the consent form over to him and stare him deep in the eyes and wait till he signs it. Then no other words are spoken.
Do I hand my drink with that?
Yeah, and then it's on, you know?
Hand my drink and stare at him.
I think that's what you got to do. Just slide a consent form over. Have him sign it. Don't break eye contact with him, and then it's go time.
Say sign it.
Should I hold my breath the whole time too, so my eyes get kind of watery, staring at him, kind of buggy.
Yeah, little vein in the forehead popping out.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I feel like okay.
You've really.
So then the conversation following this.
Yeah,
there's no conversation. It's go time.
Well, just strap him down after that, huh? I whip him a couple times. Be like, get your fucking chest.
Yeah. Also, if you run out of ropes, Charlie recommends ratchet straps.
Yeah.
Recommended that in a different scenario to another caller.
Mm-hmm.
So
he won't be going anywhere.
Better roof?
That's funny.
Have a little TikTok or TikTok, like hamster, whatever, in the car. You guys hear about that yet?
TikTok hamster? No. What about it?
Or if you have sunroof, then you have the little water hamster. If you have a male and a female, they just kind of lean in from the sunroof.
You got hamsters on your car?
I'm completely lost.
Okay. Sunroof. Female sits in driver's seat. Male is laying on top of car with sunroof open, naked, and the female has water hamster.
Oh my god.
Okay, hang on. Can you explain one more time? Because now
ever
I'm
seen
just
seen a hamster drink water.
Yeah.
Now just imagine not drinking water, drinking something else.
Okay, from a guy laying on the sunroof.
Yes.
I see.
My mom listens to this podcast.
Does your mom actually listen?
Yeah. Oh yeah.
Well, not this episode. You don't.
No, I'll have to tell her to skip this one.
Yeah.
I usually skip this part.
Probably should put that in the writing of this one is first warning, mother, do not listen, and then continue on what the podcast is about. But hear me out. Okay. So my best skills fit with the hamster.
Oh my God.
You're
thing. Okay, that's where my best skills lay. So if I ratchet strap him to the roof,
yeah,
could start everything with that and then drop him and then tie him up and all that, right?
Wait, you sure. Do what to him and tie him up?
Like just drop him from the roof.
Drop him.
Just maybe a bed underneath, but just like undo one of the ratchets and just let him fall, you know, for the adrenaline rush, like skydiving from the roof to the bed.
I see. Man, you're creative. You're
crazy, I was going to say. So that's a good scenario.
I was
going to
say, I think some of my exes crazy might have actually poured out off a little, and I'm just trying to process it a different way, right?
Do you think that's part of it? Do you think it's that, I mean, you're saying he's bored. Are you a little bored?
I don't think I'm honestly too bored. I think I'm just... I don't know. Maybe it is a subconscious like I'm putting on him, but it's coming from me. But I know I'm not bored in that area. Maybe I'm just trying to think of a more fun, crazy, out of this world thing to do. And he's just going to have to strap on and be part of the project.
Well, yeah. I think strap on was the key word there. And we wish
they will
you
leave that with the ex-husband. He can have all that.
Okay.
Wow. Well, we really appreciate you calling in today. This has been very exciting. Keep an eye on the mail for our whip and chain. And that's we'll put a koozie in there, too, for you. How does that sound?
Only if it comes filled with tippy cow. Okay, you guys said you're gonna send it before. I'd love real tippy cow scent this time because I can't find it nowhere near me.
Okay, no, we'll take a note down.
Yeah, let's tell them to get it to the distributor. Well, thank you for calling in. And right after you finish doing what you're gonna do with your husband, just tell him that Miles and Charlie says hi. All right.
I will look him dead in the eye, a straight face, while he's still inside me, and say, Charlie says hello.
Cool. Miles too. Yeah. Oh man, you're a fun one.
Back, say you betcha, guy.
Yeah, I say, oh, you betcha. There you go. Oh my. Well,
and then
this...
go to the bathroom and be like, oh crepes.
What?
I said, and then I'll go to the bathroom and be like, oh crepes. Loud enough that he can hear. Get a little bit of both you guys in there.
There you go. God, we could talk to you all day, but I'd have to go to confession. So thank you.
We're going to have to go to the confession booth after this.
Yeah, there's a timeout booth at this bar. We'll step in there and we'll tell the good Lord what we heard today. But hey, good luck becoming that sexy rodeo clown. And we wish you the best. And if he can't handle the bull, give him
the kitchen.
Get out of the kitchen. There you have it. Or the ring or the bedroom. Yeah.
Thanks for calling in.
Have a good one. Bye-bye.
You too. Bye now. Yeah, well, Miles, I usually see him coming. This one I did. Half the time I was like, dang, I really got hit by that garage door today, you know?
Yeah.
I was
Are
like,
you dreaming or not?
I don't even know.
Yeah.
I don't even know. Now, I do honestly think it's her that's the one that's a scotch board. You know, because the fella seems happier than hell, you know, and the fella doesn't seem to be asking for this, but she has detailed plans.
I think her plan is he doesn't know that he wants it until he gets it, is I think what her mentality is, you know?
Yeah.
It's like, yeah. So we'll see. Good luck.
Good luck. Folks, we are lucky enough to have a professional at law here today, Russell, ladies and gentlemen, from Nicolay Law. Russell, welcome to the show.
Thank you. Appreciate that, guys.
I'm glad you're in town.
Is your mic on?
Oh, yeah, it's on.
Is it?
Yeah, he's on.
I can't hear him in my ears.
They're messing with my sound. Oh, there we go.
There it is. Yeah. There it is. Okay. All right. So, Russell, I feel like at the top of the show, Miles and I were discussing the fact that I just got bumped in the noggin by a garage door at a parking garage.
May or may not be concussed. We don't know yet.
We don't know. I am feeling a little goofy, but there are other. It could have been the double melatonin I took last night. You know, I could just be clearing out the brain fog. It's too early to tell. I will say this: Miles did a little flashlight test.
His pupils were moving around, which I think is good.
First of all, why I'm trusting Miles on the medical advice, I don't know.
but I
looks
am.
Looks trustworthy.
He does. Honestly, he gives off trustworthy vibes.
If you just act confident, then people will believe you, and that's what I did. I didn't hesitate. I just pulled that flashlight out and started flashing in your face.
That's a good point, because he did that without even asking, so he looked like he knew what he was doing right off the bat. Right?
Did you know Miles was an athlete?
I just found that out today. Actually, my office manager was telling me that he played football.
I did. I did play football. I did see a lot of the flashlights in teammates' eyes. I luckily never had to have the flashlight test for concussion, but I saw that. So that's what I was...
Did you know what they were looking for?
Yeah, if your pupils are dilated, then that's not a good sign.
Okay.
You know, it's like when people are really drunk, that's why they do the flashlight on a sobriety test to see if your pupils are moving around.
I see.
So I think so.
You never administered it, though?
No. No.
You just watched enough.
Yeah. It's, you know, monkey see, monkey do.
Yeah.
Now, question, I mean, this is great timing because you work a lot with injuries, correct?
That's true.
And I'm going to say injured.
We'll just say potentially injured. Emotionally injured, potentially physically injured.
Yes.
And so what advice would you give Charlie here? Maybe advice is a bad word. I don't know how it works in the law, if you can officially give him, if he hasn't signed a, you know, letter of engagement or anything like that. But
yeah, and there's always a risk because I'm drinking Busch Light here.
Yeah, that's true.
But I would say the first thing is to make sure you're all right, which Miles is kind of working on that. Make sure you're actually, do you need medical attention?
I think I'm fine.
Okay.
All right. Well, then the next step would be probably to go file incident report with the hotel parking.
This
garage.
Is already starting to sound like a lot of paperwork.
This is a lot. How much? Let's start with this. How much could I squeeze out of this?
This is ballpark numbers. Yeah,
hitting the head with a garage door concussion. Major hotel chain.
Yeah, well, one thing is because it's a major hotel chain, they're probably going to fight it like hell. So that's the first problem. But second,
well, that also, sounds like your problem.
Yeah, that would be my problem. If I was your lawyer, that's my problem. That's why I get hired.
Yeah.
I'd say the big thing for you, though, is we got to figure out what kind of, like, what actually do you have wrong with you? Because, and not to scare you, but if you get hit in the head, a lot of times you don't know what the actual damage is for some time. So it's like a lot of people get TBIs because actually a concussion is a TBI, traumatic brain injury. And so you can have, like, it's like 15% of people have residual effects after the initial.
Yeah. Now you got a fallback. Your career starts tanking. You blame it on the concussion.
Sorry, guys. Had a TBI.
Yeah. You start going crazy like Britney Spears and shave your head. Well, no, it's because of the concussion.
It's because of the TBI, baby. Yeah, we just throw it on that. Okay.
Yeah. So you kind of have a good way to blame a lot of stuff right now based on if anything goes south, you could just say, hey, it's not my fault, man. I would have done a good job, but I got a TBI.
Now, if I were the, I like that. I like that plausible deniability there. If I were the hotel, though, I'd be like, please, how do we know you got that from this and didn't walk around the corner and fall on the concrete?
That's a legitimate concern. That's why usually you want to, I mean, obviously if a witness would be different, you didn't have one apparently, but usually you want to go file incident report right away.
I think that I saw it happen.
I did have a witness. Yeah. Miles, you think or you remember? Saw it happen?
I definitely saw you coming down the garage ramp.
Yeah.
And I had noticed, I was like, that was really weird.
Well, you know,
the garage
what?
Door came down, hit him in the head, and then he started walking S curves down the way.
You saw the S curves.
I didn't know if you were doing the Sherpa back and forth or if you were concussed, and that's where we're at.
Yeah, must have been concussed.
I actually heard him go, oh, man, that hurt bad. I heard you yell.
Yeah, well,
that.
I did say that. And in fact, Miles,
does that help our cause? I mean, there was a verbal exclamation by Charlie.
Miles, they probably have security cameras.
Yeah, that's what I was going to say. Your best bet is to actually let them know about it, and then you can tell them, hey, I want the security camera. They may not give you the footage, but once you put them on notice, they have to preserve it. So they probably have a security camera that saw you getting hit. You don't need Miles' story or whatever we'll call it. You saw it happen. You can just look at the damn camera.
I believe it's called a testimony.
Sure, testimony, perjury, whatever you want to call it.
Okay, well, realistically, though, like, let's say this actually did cause a concussion, and I probably don't want to go to the hotel first and file an incident report, because they'd probably destroy the footage right away, right?
Well, that would be tampering with evidence.
Yeah, this, they call it spoliation of evidence, but could it happen?
Spoliation.
Yeah. So should people, like, should people go to you immediately after an incident like this happens?
So we always tell them to get medical attention first. Okay. So get medical attention
first. Okay, yep, we got that.
Which we got from Miles here.
I administered it. Now what?
Dr. Miles. Okay, so we have that. Let's assume he knows what he's doing because of his watching.
I'm an exercise scientist.
Right. That. So then the next step would, I still would have you file an incident report and then come to us because we want to make sure you document it. But if you didn't, then we would do it for you. So like if
you came
to
me,
I would call over there and say, hey, just so you know, I represent Charlie Behrens. This door fell on him. I happened this time, about this time, this date. I want to file an incident report and I need you to get me the footage. And they'll probably tell you, we're not going to get you the footage. And I'll say, or I'm sending over a letter for you to preserve it because we're going to need it later. You know, and then they probably have footage of you getting hit and then that's it. So then we can use it. Then we got to see how you're doing. You know, you eventually go treatment. If there's more than miles, then we'll see how you're feeling down the road. And hopefully you're feeling right. Hopefully it's not a big claim and there's really not much to it and you just get healthy. But unfortunately for some folks, for TBIs, it goes all their way. So.
Now, let's say this was a parking ramp. This is, I think, the other interesting question of this. There's a parking ramp, right? Probably I wasn't supposed to walk down the parking ramp. So I was in the wrong there. You know,
I say that on this podcast.
Well, I mean, I'm not actually going to sue these guys, but I'm
just supposed to tell him to not say anything. Isn't that your job?
Well, we want the truth, though. So like
we just don't have to say anything. Charlie.
No, but what would your angle be? What would your angle be? Because like if they were like, well, he's not supposed to be walking down the wrong way down a parking ramp. Would you be like, well, he was parking it. My thought process, you know, is that my car was down there. Oh, it's an easier way to go down there than to go inside, go through the elevator. I don't see anything wrong with it. There are no cars coming. It's like walking on the side of the street.
Yeah.
You walk close to the edge.
That's a good point. I mean, they probably would argue that, hey, some of the fault's on you because why'd you walk through there? But there's also how many people do that. And, you know, the other thing you might find out is that there's been other people that have been hit by this door. So they already know about it. That happens a lot with things where people get hurt and they're kind of embarrassed. Like, you know, hey, I shouldn't have walked through there. And you find out later, like five other people were hit with the door. They just didn't want to change it.
Class action lawsuit. A lot of money there baby. Go,
yeah.
Rake it in.
I don't know. Maybe you guys should be the lawyers. I'll just.
I don't think you want that. But also what I like is, Charlie, he gave you an option to do less paperwork. That's what I'm always looking for.
Yeah.
The least amount of paperwork that I can do. That's the goal.
Yeah, well, I tell you too, if people come to us, I mean, we're going to do as much work as we can for you, especially when you're injured, you don't need that stress. So if we need to do the initial like report or whatever, we always take over for people because that's what we kind of pride ourselves in, is like taking that off their shoulders. So we've always tried that. And I mean, like just when you're injured, you had it took you extra time to get here. And that kind of stuff is just one extra thing that we'll take care of.
And time is money. So there's money damages as well, Charlie.
Financial damages. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Yeah. So, Russell, I got a question for you. As a lawyer, you get asked a lot of questions about being a lawyer because no one understands it. What's like the most common question you get from people?
Yeah, that's a hard one. I think I get asked questions are almost always family law stuff. Like, hey, I think I got to divorce my wife or husband. Mm. You know, like I got some questions. I don't handle that. I did years ago. So I try not to dabble in that anymore, but that's what you hear from a lot of people. Like they're like, especially if you're a bar, hey, I was wondering, you know, what would happen to my cabin or what would happen to my house if this, you know, that's
theoretically speaking.
Yeah, so you're at a bar. The most common question you get at a bar when you're there is about if I get divorced, what's going to happen?
Yeah, the first,
that adds up. It does.
The first question is always what you do, and then I tell them I do injury law, and then they still ask about the divorce. So.
That's so fun. Like if people are coming up and asking about a divorce at a bar, what like the main question is about property, is about money. What are people asking you about divorces?
Yeah, I mean, is a lot of time it's about property. Will they lose this? Will they lose that? You know, is it true they have to split everything 50-50? In most states, you know, where usually I'm at a bar being in Wisconsin, that's kind of the presumption is 50-50.
Then
there's some more serious stuff about kids, you know. But I always just tell them, hey, I don't do that anymore. I'm not the guy for you. I can give you some names.
Yeah. Yeah. It's a good business to get out of. I'd have to imagine that's an anxiety inducing business. Probably lucrative though. God dang.
Yeah, there's a lot of work out there for it, for sure.
A lot of work out there, and those conversations go on and on and on and on and on.
How would you know, Charlie?
And on and on. Actually, mine was fairly quick, and what do you say when both parties are cool with it? I had a concussion today. I can't think.
Yeah.
Yeah.
We'll find it. Yeah,
it's uncontested, we'll basically.
Yeah, it was mutual. We agreed on everything pretty quick. It was nice. Pretty friendly. It was good. It was good.
I'll
no
tell you
problems.
The one thing at a bar that's a problem, though. You will tell someone initially, hey, I don't do that. I can't answer it. 3-4 beers later, they're back with that same question. So then you got to remind them.
Oh,
or just give
but
in.
But that's, I mean, the whole premise of this podcast. You go to the bar for free advice. It doesn't matter what kind of advice.
Yeah.
You know, that's what they see a free lawyer in the room, and that's where they're going.
Yeah, you know, in their defense, too, they're usually often buying me beers because they think it's fun to have a lawyer at the bar once I tell them it. I try to keep that low key, but then I decide, you know what, if they're buying me beers, I guess I got to give some advice, right? So it's the trade-off.
Yeah. Well, I mean, those are the cheapest beers you're ever going to buy, you know?
Yeah.
What's the most common injury that people don't report or think anything about, you know, and they should?
You're probably not going to like this, but what just happened to you, TBI? Because most people, you can't, two things. One, you often can't see a TBI. And number two, your brain's what tells you you're injured, and you injured your brain. So not to be the Debbie Downer, the negative guy here, but like you know, your injury.
Shit. Well,
also though, Charlie, it's like you don't want to be a tattletale either.
Well,
you
know, I know that's exactly why it goes underreported.
You want to be a narc, because once you get the narc label, it's tough to shake that. And
well, what would you do if I got hit by this garage door? What would you do?
If I was your lawyer, or if you
were Charlie,
if you were me, what would you do?
I'd probably go get, we'll see how you feel, but I'd probably get checked out at some point. But you did have Miles do that, so we'll put that aside. I would probably report it. Just report it. Because if it turns out to be nothing and you're feeling 100% better tomorrow, no big deal. You reported it. I don't think they're going to label you a narc. They're just going to put down that you reported you got hit with a garage
door. I've heard some murmurs here in the bar. There's a lot of narc talk already, Charlie. So you just want to be careful.
All right. Well, if I were to report it, even if that made me a narc, Miles... Who do I really just go tell the hotel? I say, hey, I want to let you know I got hit in the fucking head by your garage door. And
exactly like that. You don't want to write that down.
Yeah. But can't they just be like, okay.
Well, so it depends to who owned. Is it the parking ramp owned by the actual hotel? But let's just say it's owned by the hotel. They're going to have a procedure for that. They're going to be like, all right, you know, Charlie Behrens, I need you to fill out this form, or we're going to have this guy fill it out. We'll sign it, and they'll have it. But, yeah.
Also, this is not making fun of your TBD.
Yeah.
What is it?
TBI.
TBI.
But?
Not to make fun of it, but you have asked the same question now 4 times, so there might be some memory loss.
Do not mess with me now, Miles, on top of it.
You've asked him about what you should immediately do 4 times now.
No,
this is good for you. Then you got more of a case.
That I understand. Maybe I do. Maybe I do. Dude, I definitely feel like a little loopy. You know, but I don't think I had a concussion.
But like, you kind of always feel a little loopy.
I'm always a little, you know, I didn't drink last night.
Yeah.
Yeah. So I'm not hungover.
That helps.
Yeah.
But
you know what? I'll find a doctor, see if there's anything actually wrong. Honestly, I think it could just be the melatonin. You guys ever take melatonin and wake up in the morning and be like, what the fuck day is it?
No. I don't take melatonin.
You've never taken it?
I have, but I don't.
Well, when you took it, did you feel like that? You can't remember.
I can't remember.
Dude, it's a hell of a drug right there, melatonin.
Isn't it just a natural supplement?
Nothing natural about what it did to me last night.
Okay.
I was in Jared's room last night.
Last question I have for both Charlie and Russell today.
Let's hope it's not the same question I already asked 4 times.
No. No, I am... I don't have a TBI right now, so... you brought your new bottle of brandy to his office, and you signed it, and you wrote injured or no.
Yeah. Do you like that?
And I'd like to workshop this. He said, hey, that's a great idea for a billboard. Are we going to be seeing any injured or no billboards popping up anywhere?
Yeah, I think we got to do it now because I didn't see it originally. Then I looked over and I saw injured or no, and I was like, genius. Just genius. Miles saw it. He saw same thing, right?
Genius. You gonna put his face on the billboard too?
It'll be this face. It'll just be me, like huge pupils.
It should be him peeking over the top of the billboard, you know?
No, it should just be a garage door. The billboard should be a garage door. It comes down on my head.
I'll tell you what, Miles, I will do it as long as you'll defend me against him when I'm using his intellectual property of Charlie's face on there saying injured or no.
Oh, no. If there's anything about me and Charlie, you just put something in front of us and we'll just sign it without reading. So you just do up a document, him forfeiting all of his intellectual rights, and then it'll be good.
I like that plan. That's good advice.
He's not going to read it.
Let's riff this billboard, though. What if there was an actual garage door on the billboard
that was just going up and down, hitting you in the head?
Yeah. Over and over? Yeah. It's me. Like, I appear. Garage door comes. Like, it's an animatronic. An animatronic. You know, those mechanical things? So it's me walking. Hits me in the head. I go, oh, and then injured or no.
Yeah, and then I could be there with a flashlight.
Yeah.
Doing the eye test thing. It could be a whole animation.
Yeah.
You could do an LED board.
Yeah, that's what I was going to say. We're going to probably have to do an LED
board. Let's do a video. We'll reenact the scene, Charlie.
That'd be kind of a cool. I kind of like billboards, like how you can get funny with them, you know? I really like for instance, you know, you've got the adult superstore, and then you. The next one is Need Jesus, talked about that yesterday.
What if we did a sequencing of billboards? Like, it was you, the garage door.
Walking.
Yes.
And then the next billboard was it hitting, and then the next one was me flashing you in the eyes, and the last one said injured or no.
Yeah, I like that. I like that.
Oh, I like this idea.
Yeah. Yeah.
That's actually, there we go.
I think some of the best ideas come at the bar.
I think they do.
That's what we're finding out right now.
I think that's what we're learning today.
So I noticed driving... because I can't go 2 miles without, you know, seeing your face on a billboard around this area.
Sorry about that.
I noticed, though, there was another injury law firm that had a billboard, and I'm wondering who was there first. Are you finding other injury law billboards and putting yours next to them and being funnier than them? Or do they go after you?
I mean, there's probably a mixture. I think I was telling Charlie yesterday, my first billboard was in 2009, so I'd like to say I was around before some of these other guys. But yeah, if I see an open spot that they may have been at or maybe didn't renew, I'm taking it.
Yeah, there he is. I like that. Little billboard shark.
Smells
blood in the water, you know?
Smells open billboards.
In the air, dude. Billboards are in the air.
We're going to do a verbal meme right now. When Russell sees an empty billboard and it's that guy rubbing his hands together.
That's good. That's good. Or it's a guy going like this. You know?
Yeah. Yeah. Kind of.
What do you mean kind of?
What one is that?
I think it's a Muppet that goes like.
Oh, yeah.
Kind of the googly eyes, mm-hmm. You know, or the side eyes.
I know is Russell is absolutely licking his chops when he sees an empty billboard.
Yeah,
that's the truth. And you know, you ever see that huge billboard? It's between Kakana and like Appleton. It used to be, I think, by the dog track.
Yeah.
I just signed that up last night.
Oh God.
Huge get.
Is that what gets you going? Like a lot of people, they make some money and they're like, oh, I'm going to get a cabin. I'm going to put an addition on the house. And you're like, oh, what billboard am I going to get?
Yeah, that's pretty much how it goes. My wife's like, you're going to put that money away for the kids' college? I'm like, no, I just got a couple more billboards.
Reinvest.
You got to reinvest.
I mean, you have to have thrown around the idea that you may eventually just have a monopoly on billboards in an area. Like, you can't be that far off from just having every single billboard in a certain area.
Some areas, yeah. I think what I thought was pretty cool is on, I think it's Facebook, some guy said, can we just normalize calling them Russell boards instead of billboards?
Damn. I wish I thought of that. You know, it's a fine art, though,
of trying to pick the billboards because you can't pick too many because then people get sick of it. You know, it's kind of like exposure over exposure. It's a fine line.
Or
dude,
it's
that
just
we're always
you go
finding.
The op. If you just go way past that point, then it's they're fine with it again.
That's true. If you're shameless.
Mm-hmm.
Well, I don't want to be shameless. And also, I had my own dad tell me that. I think he was saying, hey, you know what? I think you can need to back off just a little bit. So, but then I just got this big billboard that we're going to do. So I don't know.
You're addicted, man.
I am.
If you're like me, though, my dad tells me to do something, I want to do the opposite anyways. So
that's true.
Why don't do you own any billboards?
Just rent them. I mean, most of those spaces, too, because they have, you know, it's like a billboard company rents the space that rents it from a, you know, farmers, so I should just go to the farmers and just tell them, hey, man, I'm your guy.
Cut out the middleman.
We're doing Russell boards.
Russell boards. Yeah.
You want to be an investor in that or what?
I'll think about it. And Charlie, you need to wait till before you invest because we got to see if this is a concussion or not.
I got
to get him to sign stuff. Oh, yeah. Right now.
I got a TMI.
Too much information.
Too much information on my TBI, baby. Welp.
Russell,
I suppose
we appreciate you coming by the bar today.
Yeah, I
you
appreciate
know, this is a nice little treat. Got a little legal,
legalese
discussion.
Legalese, Miles.
And man, this is great.
Yeah, I just like that our attorney wears flannel. You know, that's what gets me going.
I gotta grow my beard out now.
I know.
Next
I got a little beard
you,
envy, too.
I need to be beating you in the beard game.
Oh, thank God you finished that sentence a different way.
Yeah, you probably have a pretty solid beard, though, if you grew it out. So.
Oh, yeah, I have had it before, and then my wife hates it. So
that was my question. Is your wife going to be cool with a massive beard? And you got to keep it kind of under wraps.
Yeah, right? Yeah. I usually do it in the winter time, but I didn't this winter. Maybe next winter. See, well, where can the folks find you at?
Yeah,
if they did happen to walk underneath a garage door and get a TBI.
Well, pretty much any road throughout Wisconsin, North Dakota, or Minnesota, you can find us. Or now at Quick Trips or at NicolayLaw.com or get us on Facebook. But yeah, or 1-855-NICOLAY. Make it real easy for people to find
but
us.
But so. Remember, there's a silent T at the end, guys, when you're dialing that number.
Yeah,
right? Don't forget that.
It's don't put an AY at the end.
What's French like your last name, right? Aren't you French?
Yeah, oui, oui.
Mon plaisir.
Oui, oui.
Mon plaisir.
Well, thanks for coming, man.
I appreciate it. Thanks, guys.
Charlie, you ever been to a Sunday brunch?
Oh, yeah.
You know what I think more Sunday brunches need to have?
What's that, Miles?
Tippy cow.
Oh, hell yeah.
I mean, yeah. What goes better than a creamy, delicious tippy cow than a little bacon and eggs?
I mean, I tell you what, you give me some bacon and eggs and a chocolate shake, a boozy chocolate shake on top of that.
Think about eating it with your pancakes or French toast, a little chocolate on top.
Yeah.
I think they need to start making tippy cow French toast.
Hey, that what would you call it? Tippy
toast. A tippy toast.
A tippy toast. That's better. See, you're
also,
better at that.
Would a tippy toast here, Charlie.
And a tippy toast to you, Miles. Cheers, my guy.
Welcome to the Bellied Up Podcast. Who are we talking to? Is he whistling?
He's whistling while he works.
Hello?
Hello?
Hey, nice whistle. Hello?
Hey. You like my whistling?
Yeah. Welcome.
I don't know what tune to call that one.
Well, you call it the working whistle. What are you doing?
Yeah. I'm just getting back to work here. What are you guys doing? Drinking somewhere, right?
Yeah, we're here in St. Paul, Minnesota. Where are you at?
I'm in somewhere south of the metro here. I don't really know exactly where.
Well, why don't you...
Somewhere by Waconia.
Oh, why don't you belly up to the bar with us? Tell us what's on your mind.
Well, so... I guess my question is, because I have I'm the captain manager of a beer league softball team.
Congratulations.
And thank you. And about 4 years ago, me and a bunch of high school buddies put together a team. And now, 4 years later, I'm running into the problem of as good as I would like to see on the team. So I'm wondering how you tell some good buddies that they are no longer a part of your beer league softball team.
That's a tough one. you know, especially if you guys known each other a long time. I think there's a few routes. One, you could take a year off, say you're disbanding the team, and then you just start up another team the year after that with a whole new host of guys, and you say that they ask you to be on their team, so then you're like, ah, I came out of retirement because they asked me to do it. That could be one option. What's another option, Charlie?
Another option is you just say, hey, I hate to say it, you guys suck at softball, and it's killing me. And, you know, we've tried it for a while. It's not working. I'd give you another chance, but I know how it's going to go. You're not putting the work in, and you can't be on the team. See you next time. If you guys want to come to the bar after, that's fine. That'd be the direct route.
Here's a question I have for you, Charlie.
Yeah.
This is purely experimental. I'm not saying this, but I wonder if maybe the manager is the problem here. Are you getting the most out of your guys? / are you taking beer league softball a little too serious?
That I've never thought of it that way. That's a good point. I might be taking it too serious. But when everybody comes up and there's certain times where it'd be a fly ball to right field and it's the first inning of the game and then the other team notices that our right fielder can't catch a ball. So now every ball that's hit is to right field and then that's where it's an endless wheel.
Okay.
Trying to find a right fielder that we can't find. And maybe I need to go out to right field.
Well, I got to ask.
Maybe that might be cool.
In beer league softball, it's kind of like Little League baseball. Isn't every right fielder the worst player on the team?
That's exactly it.
So why don't you guys hit into their right field?
Well, because we're not that good, Charlie.
Okay, I get it.
Hence why he's on this call, Charlie.
I think if we could, we would.
How often are you guys practicing? Are you giving your team ample opportunity to improve, or are you just expecting everyone to show up once a week and be better magically?
Well, last year we had a practice the week before the season started, and we had three guys show up. So we don't really practice, no. But you would think weekly, the longer it goes on, that they'd get at least a little better.
So can you just stick the worst player at a different position? Or do do like volleyball does and everyone rotates a position to keep, then they have to constantly be identifying who is the weakest link and then they're going to get in the other team's head. If they're just always in right field, they know they just got to hit it to right field. But if you just keep rotating players around the infield, the outfield, then they don't know where to hit it.
I'd always keep them in the outfield.
What if there's four or five of them, though?
Yeah.
I mean, you are the manager. You need to take responsibility for your actions. You signed these people up on the team, did you not?
I did. And should have held a tryout.
How hammered were you when you said yes to this?
Pretty good. And now it's taken a chunk of my summers away. I put so much time into it. Maybe I should start a tournament team instead of a beer league softball team so people take it more serious.
How much time could you really put into this if you guys don't practice and you just meet once a week, though? Like, what else is involved in managing a team that does not practice?
He's got to schmooze sponsors. He's got to get uniforms lined up.
Yeah. Right. Sponsors. You gotta think of positions every week. I mean, it's you sit down and it's a couple beer job for sure every week where you sit down and you have to, and then you got to put up the worst part is putting together the lineup. I mean, I can throw fielding positions together, but when it comes to our batting order, I mean, our 12 hitter will come one week and he'll put the bat on the ball two times and then he'll come the next week and he'll go 8 for 8.
Huh.
So it's a hit or miss every week.
You know, it's a lot like baseball, though. It's a lot like baseball. I mean, that sure sounds like professional athletes right there.
It sure is.
Okay, I got a question for you. In your mind, what are the top things that make a beer league softball team great?
You need a pitcher is the first thing. And then I'd say after that, then it comes down to your team. It comes down to camaraderie. Are you guys having fun? Are you guys not having fun? It could come down to chemistry. Well, you guys know, do you guys, everybody know each other? Is it awkward on the bench? I guess you could tie that into, is everybody having fun and stuff? And then the third is, I guess you gotta, I don't know. The third one, you gotta be able to, I don't know, hit the ball hard. You hit the ball hard, you'll usually will make a lot of people, you know, a lot of people are scared of the ball. So the harder you hit it, the better chance you have of at least getting on.
That's some That's some sage advice coming from the manager. I'm starting to wonder if there might be a little lack of focus from the upper management of this team, you know, on how to make a better team. Are most of the people there under the impression that they're playing baseball or softball, that they're playing softball to win or to just go to the bar after? Like bar league softball, that's kind of the first thing that you think of is the bar, you know, because it's in the name like that. So if their focus isn't on winning, but it's on the bar, this whole thing makes a lot of sense. But your focus is on winning.
Have you thought about bribing them?
Well, there was probably 6 out of the 10 weeks last year that we went 0-2, and everybody was down and sat. We go to the parking lot for parking lot beers after, and everybody's all down and they're all upset that we just lost. I mean, we all take it serious. It's just some people just aren't.
They're not very good, is what he's saying.
They're not cut out for it. That might be it.
He's got a little bit of a Bad News Bears situation on his hands.
Very, very much.
Yeah.
And I wonder if you would get more satisfaction out of really taking this team the extra mile. You know, maybe if you just get to the game a half hour before and run some drills, that could help, you know.
And warm up, maybe. Maybe not once a week we're pulling hammies because nobody's warming up.
Yeah, I know.
Showing up at 6:02, the 6 o'clock game.
Yeah. What are the top pet peeves of bad softball players on your bar league softball team? What are the top pet peeves?
That's got to be the one there, Charlie. Is when the game's at 6 and you got guys say, "Oh, I'm rolling in," and it's 6:05. I mean, it's like an 8 o'clock game. It can't be that hard to make an 8 o'clock game, right? I mean, and they're rolling in at 8:15, they're already an inning or two in.
So not showing up on time. What else? Yeah,
not showing up on time. I guess, I mean, if they, I don't know. I mean, if they, we've ran into a few guys that get a little too, they take it a little too serious, and they get mad. They start throwing bats and stuff. Throwing stuff on the bench and stuff. I'm not too fond of that either.
Dude, what's the biggest fight you've seen in bar league softball?
I was watching the championship game 2 years ago, and a guy, it was bases loaded, 2 outs. And I think it was a tie game. And it was supposed to be ball 4, but he didn't let it get to the plate. And he kind of like kicked it back towards the pitcher. And he got halfway to first, and the ump called him back. He called it a strike because he didn't let it hit the ground first. And then the next pitch came in, and if you fall out on your second pitch, it's a strikeout in softball. You only get 2 strikes. And he hit a foul ball at second at bat, and the ump, obviously that's a strikeout. And then he started blowing up at the ump, and he almost started fighting the ump.
I think you need to jump leagues. It sounds like this league is not very fun at all.
No, think we need to switch cities, maybe.
Yeah, I think you just need to. I think you need to get out of Dodge. I think you just need to move.
He moves his entire family to get on a better bar league softball team.
Sorry, kids. Hate to take you out of school. I know you like your friends. You're just going to have to get over it. We can't lose every year like this. It's not good for business. It's not good for dad.
You can make new friends.
Yeah. You can make, yeah. I got to make new friends. You got to make new friends. Well,
I think you just need to lower the expectations. It sounds like you're kind of trapped. So just make the best of it. Have some fun. Maybe, you know, find a way to make those people get really pissed, make them diffuse the situation with telling them it's not that serious. You know, grand scheme of things, when you're dying on your deathbed, I don't think you're going to be pissed about striking out in beer league softball all those years ago. So
that's Miles' advice. My advice is to just have a heart to heart with them now and say, if you assholes aren't ready to come to spring training, you're not on the team. Yep. Sorry. And then find some guys that are ready to come to spring training.
Maybe think about different motivation before the games. You could read them the Jimmy V speech that he did at the ESPYs or
whatever. Oh, there you go.
Just start reading them famous speeches.
Vince Lombardi. Yeah. It's all about the pregame speech. Yeah. And then from there, like if every point that's scored is a beer that you're buying at the bar, you know, and then use the sponsors.
That'd be a good one.
Yeah. Use the sponsors.
That'd be a good one if my team.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Do it like they do on around where we're at, the Legion baseball team. If a kid brings a foul ball back to the stands, they get a free snow cone.
Oh.
Maybe every time that an outfielder catches a fly ball, you get to hand them a beer and they trade the ball in for a beer.
Yeah, you bring a cooler of beers, you could really turn this team around, I think. And also,
there's definitely no shortage of beers.
Yeah, and the showing up late thing, have them run a lap. You start enforcing the lap rule.
That.
Take a lap around that baseball diamond. No one's going to be showing up late, you know, especially when they pull a hammy halfway through their lap.
Yeah, that's maybe a good point. Maybe you go harder on them.
Yeah, the ones that suck go harder on the running.
A couple suicides.
Yeah, because guess what? They pull a hammy out for the season. They can be replaced.
Yeah,
you know? That's how you get them out. You never have to tell them to get out.
Hey.
Make them pull a hammy.
Strikeout. Drop and give me 20.
Yeah, 20 right there. Right there too. 20 push-ups. Taste the dirt on the way down. If they're not tasting dirt, they're not going far down enough. So that's the protocol. But you got to remember, you can't just be, pounding and being hard on them. Remember what Miles said. You got to study these speeches from the great coaches. What was the name of that Hoosiers coach that threw the chairs at him?
Bobby Knight.
You got to go Bobby Knight on these guys. Coach, but. Yeah, but you got to have the speeches to back up your anger.
So you need to go crazier than the guys throwing the bats.
Yes.
Right? Nothing will make someone feel right. So if Charlie lost his mind and threw this bar stool across the room, we would all be like, he's crazy. We don't want to be like him. So you got to beat him to the punch and just start throwing shit the minute they show up.
Yeah.
And then they won't do that.
Fear, but they've got to respect you. So, you know, you got to be a little emotionally abusive. You got to like say, hey, you did good out there. And then if you strike out or you do a strike, they got to look over you. You got to be like, not my tempo. You know, like that Whiplash scene where he throws a chair. Just look at all the abusive coaches and teachers and take a little something from each of them.
Gaslighting usually works, too.
Yeah, yeah.
You know, and another way you could get them to show up on time is just batting order is by who shows up first.
Yeah, that's true.
Who dared? That's a good one.
If the
worst guy shows up fourth, that's
get him out of the way. First inning, you know, just get them out of the way.
Yeah.
And the other thing, then it's less work for you. You were complaining about too much work. Just have them do all the work. They get to pick their own position. They get to, they'll fall in line.
Reward them with beers.
In the corporate community, they call that empowering their people. You just got to make them do all the work.
Yeah, it's good cop, bad cop. You're the good cop and you're the bad cop. You're the bad cop when you're yelling at them, making them run laps, do 20, keep being a stickler on the time. But you're a good cop when you can, you know, hand them a nice little beer from the cooler.
You know? Then if they put Jimmy out in right field and he misses a fly ball, then they feel responsible, not you. And then they're looking at you like, what do we do?
Yeah. And also, you got to make practices more fun. Okay. Who would want to go to practice if you're like, all right, guys, we're throwing softballs. You got to catch them. But what if you're throwing them beers, you know? So if you're sitting there launching them beers.
Yeah, instead of hitting softballs, hit like apples and stuff.
Those nothing, are fun to watch nothing, explode.
Yeah, nothing sure guys can. Like turn it into a game of Fruit Ninja.
Yeah, there you go, Miles. See, now it took us a while, but we're cooking with gas here. What's that?
We'd find somewhere. I said a t-shirt cannon, but a beer cannon maybe.
Yeah, fly ball beer cannon.
And make sure you bring good snacks. There you go. Make sure you bring good snacks for after the game. Or, frankly, before the game. If everybody's, when you're a kid growing up playing baseball, you weren't excited to go play the game. You were excited for which, you know, mom was on the docket of bringing snacks. You know, if it was Jimmy's mom, she freaking brought fruit roll-ups, dude. We were getting there early just in case she brought some early game roll-ups.
I think one more suggestion is on the punishment side of it, you got to take a page out of the golfer's book. So if a golfer hits the ball off the tee and it doesn't go past the ladies' tee, they got to hit their next shot with their pants down. If someone strikes out or does a fly ball, the next time at bat, they got to bat with their pants down.
That's a good one.
Yeah.
Great camaraderie as well. Then if also people are wanting to not strike out more.
Yep. That sounds like a great idea.
Plus, then it distracts the other team. You know, distracts the other team. They don't know what's going on. Better chance that they're going to miss a fly ball if his guy's running to first base and his junk is flopping around.
Right. His draw's on the ground. Right. That's a good one.
Yeah.
A good one.
Well, we hope you take some of this with you.
Yeah. I'm sure I'll be able to find a few pieces in there.
Well, what's your team name, if you don't mind me asking?
Well, some of my teammates listen to this, so we'll say that we are the Jaguars.
Okay, maybe spice up the team name a little bit.
I feel like it is.
Yeah.
Right. Do what another corporate page out of the book here. When they get into a scandal, then they just change their company name. Just change your name and it'll be like, we're not longer the Jaguars, we're the Lions, and the Lions are a different story than the Jaguars were.
Change the story, change the narrative.
Mm-hmm. Well, good luck to the Jaguars this coming season. It looks like you got a lot to think about, and I think that, I don't know, this is your year.
I think so, too.
Sound like we tired you out here.
Mid-season update.
Yeah, give us a mid-season update.
No, I've been thinking. They might have to hold a spring training, too.
Yeah, pitchers and catchers need to report ASAP.
Yep. Start now and weed through the weak links. Oops. Okay, I'll let you guys go.
All right, fella. Be good now.
Yeah, you guys too. Watch out for deer.
All right. See ya.
I like how it never occurred to him that maybe he should just try and do a better job.
But not at all. He was like,
fuck shit. I guess.
You just gave him the most basic advice. He's like, you know, I never thought about that. I was like, are you kidding me, dude? And I love how he said he was going to change the name because some of the guys on the team listen to it. If they don't, like... They know exactly what his voice sounds like. They're gonna know.
What do you think the actual team name was?
I don't know. That part, you know, I thought like when I grew up doing bar league softball, like watching like my dad and uncles play, they would just name it after the bar
the
they
sponsor,
went to.
Yeah,
like Tamarack was a bar in Milwaukee. They were the Tamarack. So it's probably just a bar, but maybe it's the kind of thing where it's friends of friends, you know, and I don't know.
Yeah. Well, good luck to the Jaguars this season.
Yeah. Good luck.
Oh,
yeah. Well, Miles,
Good luck to the Jaguars, and I think that it's about does it for us today.
Yes, it does, Charlie. Another good episode of the books.
No nausea on my concussion.
Yeah, I was starting to wonder how you're doing. You got any update? You feeling good?
Feeling good, honestly. You know, I think it was the melatonin that was
a little groggy.
Little G-R-O-G, although I probably shouldn't say that on the podcast if I'm looking to possibly get a lawsuit going in the future. So
you're kind of, you know, what is that, incriminating yourself here?
Well, I honestly can't be trusted. I can't be trusted after I got hit in the head because, I mean, nothing I say matters. You really just got to check the security camera footage, which if you delete it, that is spoiling evidence, and it's a felony. So I wouldn't do that. I'd think twice about that.
And if all goes to hell, just plead insanity after the fact if they listen to this podcast as evidence.
Yeah, well, I got plenty of evidence for that. We got hundreds of episodes, you know?
Yeah, you're insane.
Yeah, I'm pretty nuts. So I'll tell them about birding, and they'll be like, yeah, that's true.
Yeah, bird watching is just snorkeling, but above water.
Be like, this guy's clearly nuts.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, guys, thanks for tuning in to another episode of the Bellied Up podcast. As always, we love you. Thanks for tuning in. And Charlie, what do they always got to remember?
Well, you got to watch for deer and tip your bartender.
See you in the next one.
Bye-bye now.